Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
We are welcoming Walton Francis, and Walt, can I say Walt?
Sure.
Okay. Author and consultant, expert in healthcare insurance, governmental regulations, and program evaluations. And Walt writes this book 36 years now?
I think that's right.
36 years, checkbook guide to healthcare plan for federal employees. So Tammy and I, Tammy co-host of the show, and I'm Bob Lines, and we're going to learn lots. Me probably more than you two. Well, excuse me.
Well, anyway. I learn from Tammy every year.
I learn from Walt every year. I love open season. It's so fun to see what's happening
from both.
And what's changing.
Okay, so
wonder if we're the only three people who get excited about open season.
I would hope others would.
I hope so too.
I'm not even a Fed, and this is exciting just to be able to talk about it in class and maybe with other friends that might be Feds or soon to retire Feds, and it's nice to know. So what's new? What's good? What's not good?
There's actually some really important, exciting new news this year, for particularly for federal retirees. OPM is always trying to get plans to expand. They want more competition against the Blue Cross plans, which dominate the program, and they also want to improve coordination with Medicare for retirees over age 65. And lo and behold, Aetna this year stepped up to the plate and hit what I think you could call a home run. They have a new plan called Aetna Direct. It's a good plan for anybody, but it's a spectacular plan for retirees with Medicare because it's basically a national plan, okay, but certainly covers the D.C. area. And you get, at a modest premium, 100% wraparound with Medicare Parts A and B, if you have both parts. Mm-hmm. So you pay nothing for doctor or hospital. And it gives you what's called a health reimbursement arrangement for those who are retired. For those who are still working, it's a health savings account. So it's a high deductible. Those who are still working, it's a high deductible health plan with a health savings account. Once you retire, it stays that way but it becomes a health reimbursable arrangement, which is similar to a health savings account. And you can use that HRA account either. You could actually pay your Medicare Part B premium with it, but I don't think that's the preferred use. Because you could just have that subtracted from your Social Security check. So why fill around with it? But you can use those dollars to pay for all the things that Medicare and health plan that doesn't cover, or things that are services that you like, going to your shrink who's not in any network, or paying for your dental costs,
or your prescription copays,
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you really, in fact, it's enough that in that plan, you would never, if you just use it for prescription drugs, I don't care how many drugs you use, you'd never spend a nickel.
I know you didn't know this, but Aetna's in here 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to shill for them, but you know.
No, I know you won't. No, you're centrist.
So that's, I think, the big news for this year. I guess the other piece, premiums are flat. They are up 3%, which is, for what, the fourth year in a row?
Yeah, I guess that was part of the requirement of the healthcare reform legislation, to try to keep the premiums low or make plans.
It's not a requirement. No? It's just, it's been this fortuitous thing. The president says it's because of the Affordable Care Act. A lot of the economists say, well, no, not really. It's due to a lot of factors, including the recession. But healthcare costs have been rising much less than the historical average for the last 4 or 5 years. And that's helped the insurance companies keep premiums down. Plus, the insurance companies have gotten more active in things like requiring a second opinion before you get a CAT scan, or pre-approval is more usual for something like CAT scan. And it seems to be that everybody, not just in the FEHVP, but generally, has hit the healthcare cost growth monster under control pretty well. The FEHVP, as usual, does a little better than the Fortune 500 employers, because being a competitive system, it can take advantage of plan competition to help drive premiums as low as they can go. And unfortunately, a lot of federal employees, roughly half, are in plans they probably shouldn't be in because they're too expensive. They're not taking advantage of these lower premium plans.
And they don't take advantage of your book.
That's right. They don't look at Checkbook's guide. Well, the thing is, for most people, there's actually survey research on this. Most people don't understand health insurance. They don't understand the terminology. They hate it. They don't want to read the brochure, 100 pages of, you know, we covered this, that, and the other, and you don't even know what half the words are.
But yeah. You can, Kent, with yours, you can compare, let's say, I know what plan I have. Mm-hmm. I'll do it myself. And that's all I know. But I don't know what's better, and I can't get a federal
Anyone
plan.
Who gets Checkbook's guide gets, and I'll talk about the online version, but there's also a print version, but online, you put in a little basic information like how old you are and how many people are there in your family, and you know, do you have any pre-existing health conditions, and what's your zip code? That's about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and are the names of the doctors you might want to keep. Okay.
Oh, them.
And then you sort of press the click the button, and you know, maybe a minute or two after you signed on, you can see in a list. Least expensive first, second least expensive second, et cetera, all the health plans that are in your area, and you can see where your plan is on that list.
And it's just not premiums, which is important because it's not all about just the premiums.
Absolutely not. It's about premiums plus out-of-pocket costs, and that gets pretty tricky. It's one when every plan, if every plan said pay $20 for a doctor visit, that wouldn't be that
be
big
easy,
a deal.
Yeah.
But that's not the way they work. They almost all have deductibles of some kind, or hospital stay payments, and the high deductible plans have, guess what? High deductibles. Mm-hmm. So, and then there are the savings accounts. So it gets pretty complicated. And what we do is we use some very heavy computer programs to analyze all that and figure out what you're likely to be out of pocket for a family like yours. Mm-hmm. No one can predict. We don't know if you're going to have a heart attack next year or not. Mm-hmm. And then add the out-of-pocket figure to the premium, taking into account the tax preference if you're still employed, which is a huge saving, and give you a bottom-line dollar number. You know, in Plan X, your total cost next year is likely to be $3,000, and in Plan Y, it's likely to be $5,000. And we're talking about $1,000 and $2,000 differences between not just the ill cheapo plan, but lots of plans compared to the more expensive plans.
Well, here in the Washington, D.C. area, employees and retirees have at least 31 choices to choose from. And I think that's part of the problem. It's like paralysis from having too many choices. And this, any number of these tools can narrow that down to having fewer choices, which makes it easier to compare. So if you're even looking at two or three different plans, then you can decide between those two or three which one's best for you.
Exactly. And again, I want to keep emphasizing this. The new Aetna Direct plan. Oh, by the way, there are three other plans that have new, much improved Medicare coordination this year.
And who might they be?
Well, Blue Cross has an affiliate here called CareFirst. Okay? And CareFirst used to be just an HMO, but now they have two HMO plans and a high deductible plan in the DC metro area, and they are all three of their plans now will pay all your 100% wraparound with Medicare if you have parts A and B.
Okay,
so they become pretty spectacular buys too.
Okay, quickie, you made a great comment. People get lost with this. What is an HMO? Just fast for the people that don't know.
Yeah, the HMO, actually, these distinctions blur. But the fee-for-service plans used to be you'd go see any doctor, any hospital, and the HMO had a network of some subset of local physicians who would, and if you saw them, you would pay your $20 a visit or whatever. And if you used a doctor who wasn't part of the network, you would pay it all. And they still work that way. But now the national fee-for-service plans also all have preferred providers. And some of the HMOs now let you go out of network. So these distinctions begin to blur. Mm-hmm. But normally the way to think about it is you're going to have to stay with the network and you pay everything if you go to a doctor outside the network. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, you say you have one favorite doctor you want to see twice a year. So you pay a couple of $100. So HMOs try to manage your care and your costs, and they want to keep you out of the hospital. They try to save money those ways.
All right. Before the show, you mentioned we have a fairly large listening audience now. It just isn't Metro DC. We get the emails from all over the place. But you did mention something that would be of local interest, that there were three plans, excuse me if I'm misstating this, that dropped out of the local area.
Yeah, there were three Coventry plans in Maryland that found, decided, you know, hey, we're not getting enough enrollment, it isn't worth it, whatever, and they've dropped out. Let's just talk nationally, because we rate all the plans across the whole nation. Nationally, there's about, I don't know, 8 or 10 plans that dropped out this year, and they're about the same number that came in. Okay, so how this affects you depends exactly on where you live. And if you're in one of the affected areas, certainly if you're in a plan that's leaving the system, then you've got to change, okay? but you know, some people don't even, you know, they hate looking at health insurance or thinking about it, and they foul up their choices. So anyway, everyone has this opportunity to change plans. It's an open season. It runs November 10th today to December
8th.
Okay.
Yeah, today's day one. This is it.
Also, by the way, there's currently for retirees, there's a Medicare open season running, okay? Because there are choices there, like Medicare Advantage plans that federal employees can opt into and save a lot of premium dollars by paying one premium instead of two. So that's another set of options. But anyway, nationally, the Aetna Direct plan is available, and in the D.C. metro area, which has, you know, roughly a third of all federal employees and retirees, we have this new Aetna Direct plan. There's also a plan called Innovation. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Innovation.
It's another new one. Yep.
Another new one, and it's like an HMO, except what's its network are all those physicians and facilities that participate with the iNova hospital system.
Hmm.
And iNova is the big banana of
Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm. So if you live in Northern Virginia or work in Northern Virginia, that's another option available to you this year.
Okay. I always say if you don't do anything else, your health plan is going to send you a little update giving you a link to their plan brochure. And look at the plan brochure, because there's three things right on the front cover. It's going to give you the new rates, because there are a couple of plans that are going way up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to be in one of those. You're at least not be caught unaware next year when your paychecks start coming in less money. And they also outline the changes for next year in your plan. And there's a summary in the back of every brochure showing you exactly what that plan's going to cover in just a very brief 1 or 2 page statement. So if you do nothing else, mm-hmm. at least do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone at the very least should be aware of how the plan that you're in changes mm-hmm. this year. And as Tammy said, it's section 2 of every brochure, usually around page 15, at lists the changes. Most of them are going to be trivial, but some of them might be important to you if they mm-hmm. change the infertility benefit there's one change this year in quite a few plans. They're now covering surgery for sex change operations. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, with that, I think it's time to take a break. So we talked about healthcare plans. Well, we're going to hear about our friends at WEPA who sell life insurance.
The responsibilities of balancing a federal career and family life can be overwhelming. How can you assure your family will live well amidst life's transitions? WEPA, a nonprofit association serving the needs of federal civilian employees since 1943, in partnership with NITP, the national leader in federal benefits, financial literacy, and pre-retirement training, provides answers to your personal planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays, 10:05 a.m., for ideas that could change your future. WEPA members can now access frequently asked questions on key financial and retirement planning topics at waepa.org. Is your life on track? WEPA members also receive Fed checks, educational checklists for every stage of life and career. Visit WEPA today at waepa.org. WEPA is a proud sponsor of For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Well, we're back. And right before we left, we were talking about good, not so good plans that have dropped out. But I think to our listening audience, they need to know this. And those of you that are listening and you know somebody that isn't listening, This is the one show that kind of talks in general. The other shows will be specific to the different vendors. But we did have an email question that probably comes in here, and it's very simple. It was from a retiree, and it said, can retirees have access to this guide without cost? This guide meaning your guide, which is called?
Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans.
Okay.
For federal employees. And it's to be found at www.guidetohealthplans.org. It's a sold product. I mean, we charge $10.95 for it. Checkbook's a nonprofit.
You haven't been doing this for 36 years as a hobby.
Yeah, well, it actually started as a hobby, but Checkbook takes no advertising, so they have to cover the costs of the print publication and of the distribution and of the online version. So it's a paid product. But here's the interesting twist: online, there's the text of the book, so to speak, and then there's the plan comparisons, of which we have many, the cost comparisons, the comparisons as to whether or not your doctor's in the plan, and so on. Quality measures, we have a lot of information. Compare all the dental plans and so on. But you can read the text for free.
Yeah, and that text is very useful because it gives you kind of an idea of what should I be looking at, what questions should I be asking. So even if you read nothing else but the text, I think you'd have at least somewhat of a direction to go in.
Absolutely. And the other thing is a lot of federal agencies subscribe on behalf of all their employees to the guide. So what you, if you go to our website, right on the first page, it asks you, are you in one of these agencies? You could look. And if you are, you've got free access
to the whole thing.
And the agency HR people usually send out an email at the beginning of open season, and maybe on page 13 of the email, they'll say, oh, by the way, there's free access. And nobody reads those emails, not even the first page. So you may have access, free access, and not know it. But for retirees, no, it's a paid booklet. But really, it's the online
version. Well, worth
it,
yeah, this time of year, because when I look at the differences in different health plans next year and the tax advantages and the Medicare coordination, you can literally save $200 a month by making a different choice. And so if that's not worth $10.95, I don't know what is. But it's just amazing because retirees are getting a 1.7% COLA next year, which on a $40,000 retirement is not a whole lot of money. But you can save more in health insurance and health care costs than that by just making different choices.
Absolutely.
There's one thing that we talk about, and I think it causes confusion in people's visual, if you will, high deductible health care plans. All right. High deductible, probably they stop at that point. So I don't want a high deductible. But how do they, what's the acronym for
HDHP.
HDHP.
Yeah, cousin of a CDHP, a consumer driven plan. And then there's a high deductible plan. But they are really, 3 years ago, I wanted to just try it just because I didn't understand how they worked. So I asked my husband, I said, do you care? And of course he said, I don't care what we do. So we did. And we've been in it ever since. I mean, it's just a wonderful tax shelter. Okay, I think it's the whole thing's about saving money on taxes, which is
huge. For the unknowing listening, including maybe me, how does it work?
Okay, in the most simplified way.
Good, that's what we want.
But it is actually fairly simple. Mm-hmm. You typically pay a lower premium for these plans. Okay.
For the same coverage.
For the same coverage.
Okay.
Okay. They're all. They have among the very best catastrophic protections in the program.
Because it includes everything.
You know, once you're, for a single person, once your total out of pocket hits $5,000 or they pay 100% of the rest, for example. Okay. Families, it's usually $10,000. It varies a little bit from plan to plan. But anyway, start with, they're going to give you, if you're still employed, a health savings account. Okay, which is actually money that goes in tax preferred into an investment situation where you can earn interest on it or invest it in the stock market.
Okay, let me make sure I understand. They're going to pay me to join this program.
That's right.
And it's going to go into an investment that's housed from taxes.
Kind of like a bank. It's going to go into a bank. And once you get a certain amount in there, then you can move it to investment accounts. Once you can cover your deductibles with the money that's in the bank.
It's like an IRA on steroids. Mm-hmm. It goes in tax-free, it grows tax-free, and when you take it out, it's tax-free, okay? And if up until, I forget, you know, age 65, probably you can only take it out for health care. After that, you can take it out for anything.
And if you take it out for other things, then you pay tax on it. And if you're under 65, there's a penalty. But if you use it for health care, which in the rest of your life, you're probably going to spend it all on health care, it's tax-free.
You know, conceptually, in reality, what you've got here is an investment that's growing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you don't need to take a lot out. And then as one ages, I look at these curves. Economists, you get a kick out of this. And this great curve was when somebody retires and it kind of showed their consumption, nothing to do with medical. They don't want to go out necessarily and eat as much, and maybe they don't want to take as, not right away, but, you know, over a period of time. And then it kind of hits a bottom, and then the curve starts to go up, but it starts to go up with medical costs. Right. So in this curve, if I was not spending money, now I'm saving money, and when my other expenses kick in, I've got a place to pay for it, and it's not that I have to write a check.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so typically you'll get this savings account, which for a family is usually around $1,000 to $2,000. It's in that range, depending on which one you join. There are quite a few of them now. I mean, there's Aetna has a consumer-driven health plan. Aetna has something called the Health Fund, high-deductible health plan. APWU has a consumer-driven plan. Care First has a high deductible health plan. That's the Maryland HMO, but it's not really an HMO when you're in a high deductible plan. Mail Handlers has a high deductible, and GIA has a high deductible plan. And all these plans, and the new Aetna Direct plan is in this same category. Okay. Now, suppose you go a year with no medical expenses, except your annual physical, which is always covered and always free. In that case, the deductible is irrelevant because you never spend anything, and you keep all the money that's in your savings account, and it rolls over to next year. I mean, it's your money, okay? And next year there's another. If you stay in the plan, there's another chunk deposited. But suppose you do have a lot of medical costs. What happens is you can typically will use your savings account to pay for them, and if they still go higher than that $1,000 or $1,500 for your family, then you hit the high deductible, okay? And the next $1,000, say, you'll pay out of pocket.
This is very, I wish we could take this piece and just play it for people. But we do have a caller that wants to ask us a question, I bet. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. For active federal employees age 65 and over living outside of the D.C. metro area, is there any combination of Medicare Part B plus FEHB family coverage, which is a better deal than Blue Cross Blue Shield Service Benefit Plan, standard option, family coverage only?
Yes, there are lots of options that are better. One of them is Blue Cross Basic. But let me be clear, if you're still an employee, you should not be on Medicare because you get a – most people have to pay a penalty at age 65 if they're retired, they have to pay a penalty if they don't join Medicare Part B at age 65. But the rules of Medicare are very different for people who are still working, even if they're 70, 80 years old. And if you're in an employer health plan, Medicare pays nothing, basically. So have you signed up for Part B?
No.
Good. Don't sign up until you actually retire.
Yeah, Part A, but you can do that. You can sign up for Part A only, which is free, and then Part B after retirement. So then your choices on health plans would be no different than any other active employee.
So let me then say, for those who are retired, and for you, once you retire, the most popular combination is the plan you mentioned, Blue Cross Standard Option. But it's got one of the highest premiums in the program, and it gives you no better guarantee than almost all the other national PPO fee-for-service plans available everywhere in the country that say, in effect, if you've got Medicare Parts A and B, you will pay nothing out of pocket for doctor and hospital. They don't extend that to drugs, but they do to doctor and hospital. So the best options, the first one to look at for sure, I would say, starting this year, is Aetna Direct. But we rate for people that Blue Cross Basic options, very good. They do a wraparound. They don't let you go out of network like some of the other plans. I mean, there's some nuances here. I don't want to get into all of them. But, you know, take people – you might want to join Aetna Direct now in anticipation because it's a good plan to be in regardless of your age.
Or the Aetna high deductible plan, which is very similar.
Yep.
Because with the Aetna Direct, you can't contribute to the HSA, but with the Aetna high deductible, you can, which is going to give this person who's still working a nice tax shelter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tax shelter. I like those.
Yeah. And the limits for that tax sheltered account is like $3,550 for self only, plus $1,000 if you're over 55. And for the family coverage, with the over 55 add-on, it's over $7,500 you can shelter from taxes next year. And that's federal, state, FICA, Medicare tax. So it's for someone in a higher salary bracket, that could be a savings of over 40% of that money you're sheltering away. It's huge.
40%.
Yeah, because you figure state, federal bracket, FICA, Medicare.
You said that better than I do.
I learned from the best.
Even take account of all the goodies that Tammy just mentioned. Yeah. But just assuming you just take the straight, plain vanilla high deductible plan, we rate almost all the high deductible plans as better buys than almost all the traditional national plans. There's some overlap. This is where we're talking about that $2,000 pay raise you can give yourself,
right,
just by switching to a lower cost plan.
Or more. I mean, with that type of plan, it could be more than $2,000 a year whenever you consider the tax savings, the low premiums, and the fact that you can roll over the money from year after year and build up a cash reserve. It's huge. And I think people are afraid of it because it's something different, something we haven't done before. And when you first sign up, it's a little bit of a learning curve because you have to learn how to access your HSA, but you get a debit card and it's online banking. It's really no different than going to Wells Fargo and paying your bills online.
Okay, we're on a roll. Are you still on the phone, caller?
Yes, thank you very much for the information.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
I might just add, there are other goodbye plans that we haven't mentioned for people with Medicare. GEHA standard option marries very well at a low premium with Medicare. In the D.C. area, the Care First plans that we've mentioned, okay, and at a direct, of course. So APWU plan works very well with Medicare at a reasonably low premium. So people should, when you turn 65, you'd better be doing some shopping.
Yeah, what about SAMBA standard option? I guess
SAMBA standard option is very good. And we rate NALC, National Association of Letter Carriers plan, very good for people with Medicare.
And they also have a consumer-driven plan now.
Yep.
Yep.
We had another email question come in on Friday, and let me read this. Although it's a small percentage of the workforce, there are a large number of federal employees assigned outside the United States. They work for many different agencies, including enlisted, I can say that, State Department, DOD, FBI, DEA. Fee-for-service plans are required as HMOs don't provide coverage. Most of the fee-for-service plans that do accommodate overseas have somewhat different benefits than what would be covered stateside. So here's the question. What is generally the best plan for overseas federal employees? Is FSBP really the best for foreign service? What are the intricacies that should be evaluated? Boy, that's a show. But
First, the answer will depend significantly on where you're posted abroad. Okay, if you're working in Ouagadougou where there aren't any doctors, it's going to be a different situation.
Walter, what?
Is that really a place?
Yes. it's in the Sahara, middle of the Sahara Desert.
Okay.
And Europe is another situation, and each country that you could be in is different. But in general, the obvious choice is the Foreign Service Plan, which is open basically to anyone who works in a foreign affairs agency.
Or Compass Rose, if you're intelligence.
And I was about to say Compass Rose, and it covers anyone who's intelligence-related. It very largely overlaps with the Foreign Service Plan. And most people abroad would probably be able to join either or both of those, okay? And they both pride themselves on their coordination of benefits, regardless of where in the world you live. Remember, Ouagadougou may be an exception. Blue Cross Standard Option and GEHA plans also pride themselves on good coverage abroad. They're couched mainly in terms of, suppose you're abroad and it's an emergency or something like that. Yeah, we'll cover you and pay for whatever you need. But they'll cover you for standard care as well. What I often recommend to people is if you're posted, say, to Paris or Ouagadougou, talk to people in the embassy. What are they in? I think you're going to find the great majority of them are in the Foreign Service Plan, but there are other choices that will work fine.
And if you go to the plan website, sometimes they'll have a link to their overseas coverage information on benefits. That's another place to look.
Yep.
Okay, I just wrote this down because we have some friends in these agencies, and I might just refer them to the few minutes we just spent on it. Mm-hmm. That's what I was writing.
Bob's taking notes.
Well, I think it's very informative, and especially if somebody like this, very good question, very erudite even. If they're asking that, how about the people that aren't asking that?
Right. Yeah, well, what do you think it is? Because, you know, as we pointed out, people can save like real money on making changes to, you know, contributing to an FSA or changing their health plan or trying out a high deductible plan. So what is it that prevents people from doing that? Is it just the information overload?
I think it's worse. I think it's an aversion to even thinking about health insurance.
Is it worse than doing your taxes?
It's right up there with doing your taxes.
I think taxes might be at the top of the pile.
But it'd be a close second. And it's a shame.
It is.
You know, because there's so much money people could save if they're willing to think about their choices. And, of course, then the problem is if you sat down from scratch and wanted to read the 100-page brochure for every one of the 25 or 30 plans you're eligible for, I mean, nobody could do that. I do it, but no sane – oh, I shouldn't say that. No, it's an impossible job for a person on their own. So, you know, that's why a checkbook – we do actually read those brochures.
Something just hit me. I'm a tax type, all right? I understand A through M maybe. but there are a lot of people that don't understand that and they don't like it, but they can buy a computer program. Let's just call it a computer-aided software product. I don't want to mention names. There are many of them, some better than others. But that's what we got here.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, because I get that question. Can you help me choose a health plan? It's like, no, but there are tools out there like Walt Francis's book that will do that for you.
Yeah, I think the way to think of it is not as a book, though I fall into that. It's an online tool to help you compare plans and find a best plan for you.
And it
won't make the final decision, but it will steer you.
And it's a lot less than buying a computer-aided software product to do your tax return.
Exactly.
I'm not going to have any money to do a tax return unless we take a break here. So we'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
The responsibilities of balancing a federal career and family life can be overwhelming. How can you assure your family will live well amidst life's transitions? WEPA, a nonprofit association serving the needs of federal civilian employees since 1943, in partnership with NITP, the national leader in federal benefits, financial literacy, and pre-retirement training, provides answers to your personal planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays, 10:05 a.m., for ideas that could change your future. WEPA members can now access frequently asked questions on key financial and retirement planning topics at waepa.org. Is your life on track? WEPA members also receive Fed checks, educational checklists for every stage of life and career. Visit WEPA today at waepa.org. WEPA is a proud sponsor of For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Boy, this show is great. We're learning the alphabet soup on both sides of the fence with our good friends at WEPA and that information package, and Walt and Tammy with their knowledge, and me listening.
And your tax information. Yeah. That's all tied in now to benefits. Who would have thought benefits and taxes went hand in hand, but they do more now than ever.
They sure do. And just take a quick segue off of that. We did a webinar, two or three weeks ago. It's really kind of a two-part webinar, and we're just pounded on benefits and the like. And the second one is going to be November 20th on Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
No sales, no commercials, no, it's just information. Okay, back to information.
Yeah, I was going to say something about the you know, we were talking about, you know, FEHB started in 1960. And if you think about 1960, wasn't that about the year that McDonald's started selling hamburgers, right?
It was.
So I think it was about the same time. And in those days, I don't remember, I was only 2 years old, but I heard that you had to drive up and go up to the window and get your hamburgers and take them back home with you. And then McDonald's realized that people like to sit down and eat their hamburgers. So they had expanded their restaurants, and now you can go inside and sit down and eat your hamburger. And then they decided people, you know, are living a faster paced life, so now you want to drive through. So then they built the drive through. And then later on, kids wanted to play at McDonald's, so they built playgrounds. So over all these years, McDonald's has changed, and, you know, we've enjoyed those changes. But I think, can't you think of health benefits the same way, that it's gone through changes and made things that are more consumer friendly? And we now have these tools that are once a book that you had to open up, and now you can do it online as a tool. So, you know, we just need to learn how to really embrace these changes, I think. And that would make it maybe a little bit more acceptable, or maybe a little bit more interesting to look at these different plans and make a choice that's best for your family.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. The FEHPP, of course, it's all private sector health plans competing for your business, for your mm-hmm. dollar. And they have to compete on the basis of their benefits, their service, and their cost. Mm-hmm. And those three are always in tension, you know, because the better the benefits, the higher the cost has to be to pay for those benefits. And the FHP plans have been very nimble at adjusting over time, unlike, say, Medicare, that ponderous elephant mm-hmm. of a program. You know, Medicare didn't even cover prescription drugs until about 7 or 8 years ago. Okay, FEHVP plans actually didn't always cover prescription drugs, but probably, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, by then they all did. And not only that, they've then moved to these benefit structures where they promote the use of generics, which are a lot less expensive than name brand drugs, and you get charged a lower copay, and so on. So there have been all kinds of innovations. And the program went through the HMO revolution and then implosion, okay, the huge growth of HMOs in the early 90s, and then the wave of mergers and collapses that ensued as people found they didn't love having to get permission to see their doctor. And of course, the HMOs reformed, and most of them, almost all of them now, do let you see specialists without a visit with your primary first, and so on. So the plans have gotten better. And the program has just evolved over time in much the same way as McDonald's.
That's right. So I thought, well, everybody loves a McDonald's hamburger, but nobody loves health plan open season. But if you use that analogy and see how things have changed and evolved, the same things happen with your federal benefits. You know, they've changed and evolved, and you need to keep up with it. Because if you have the same plan you had 40 years ago, it's different now than it was back then. Mm-hmm. And then we had that 1982 law that required federal employees pay into Medicare. And that's still something we're learning about, because none of the federal health plans will drop you if you don't take Medicare. So it makes that big question mark, what happens when I turn 65? Like the one caller said, you know, there's something's going to change when I turn 65, but I don't know what it is, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Actually, in fact, it's a shame. The one area of huge weakness in this program is the Medicare coordination issue. And I blame it on the Congress, not on, you know, the problem is the two programs grew up independently. They didn't join at the hip, so to speak. They still haven't fully, but the Part A kicked in as a mandatory, universal, perhaps I should say, coverage for federal employees back in 83 or thereabouts. But it's still not, and we're getting experimentation, and OPM is pushing it. Like this new this Aetna Direct plan and the Care First Blue Cross innovations this year, but we're still not there yet in terms of what's the most sensible way to deal with people turning 65.
Yeah,
can I ask you a couple of questions? The idea of eating just jumped in. Are there some plans that reward those that would eat more healthy or have a better blood level than others? I vaguely remember talking about that on a prior show.
Virtually all the plans now have some kind of, quote, wellness, end quote, benefit. Usually the most common form of it is if you take our healthy living questionnaire and answer all the questions, we'll put $50 into a debit card for mm-hmm. you, or $100.
So, some are up to $250. There's one that's $250.
Yeah, there's several, sometimes mm-hmm. several hundred dollars. Mm-hmm. And some of them will pay you more if you then actually go do things like mm-hmm. join a gym and exercise. Most of them, though, don't require you to do that. It's not at all clear that wellness benefits make a whole lot of sense for health insurance. There's a literature that says they don't actually change people's behavior, and and they can, in some cases, penalize people who, through no fault of their own, are unable, you know, to solve problem X. Okay, you know, everyone can't go to the gym and exercise and work out. That said, by all means, that's one of the features. Usually, it's you know, sort of hidden in the middle of that 100-page brochure, unfortunately. But that's one. By the way, the brochures are all online, either at the plan websites or at the OPM website, or at the checkbook website. Okay, so if you get our tool, you know, we'll, one of the things we encourage you to do is to download a brochure. Well, the important thing here is not necessarily to print the bloody thing. I mean, it's 100 pages.
Yeah.
But
believe
you can
me,
search
your printer,
it.
Your printer will jam.
It'll be a PDF file, and you can search it online. So let's say you care about maternity benefits. You search on the word maternity, mm-hmm. or hearing aid, or, to take the example that you just raised, wellness. And you'll find it'll take you to the page where that benefit is discussed.
You know, a lot of people don't realize Medicare doesn't cover hearing aids. You'd think of all things Medicare would cover, they would cover hearing aids, but they don't. And I know Blue Cross, that's one plus for Blue Cross. They do give people $2,500 towards the cost of hearing aids every 3 years, but you know, hopefully.
Well, there are many pluses to Blue Cross.
Yeah.
It just has that one huge minus.
Is the premium.
It's premium.
Yeah.
But actually, about 2/3 of the plans now cover hearing aids.
Or at some least cover give you some kind of discount. Yeah.
But not adults. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hearing aid, that's, by the way, a new benefit feature. Mm-hmm. OPM has innovated in lots of small ways over the years in this program. And one of the things they pushed early on before the Affordable Care Act was free or no cost physical exams. Okay. And they pushed hearing aids.
Mm-hmm. And mental health parity.
Mental health parity. They were ahead of the law. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've been pretty good.
Wow. Now, we've been talking about plans. Some people listening are married. Some are single. Some might be getting divorced. Any comments on the non-married side? An individual that's single or head of household. Is there any particular plan that
caters more to... That's what you call single people in the tax world, head of household.
Okay.
It's
very good.
Look, the right answer depends a lot on a whole set of variables, including your health, your age, how many people are in your family, if it's a family, whether or not you have Medicare, whether or not you're retired, okay, and so on. No one plan stands out. Well, I should say that. There are several plans that look good under almost all those circumstances, maybe not every single one of them. In the D.C. area, the Kaiser Standard option, it leads our ratings every year. I mean, you know, except maybe this year if you're on Medicare, it gets tied or beaten a little bit by Aetna Direct. You know, but I mean, and the Care First plans. But, you know, Kaiser Standard option is always a plan to look at. GEHA Standard option. NALC has steadily improved its coverage and kept its premium down in recent years, and it looks to be an excellent choice, whether you're single or married.
Yeah, they got three options now.
Yeah. But I mean, even just the mm-hmm. main NALC high option plan. If you're eligible, the Foreign Service plan is an excellent buy. And again, without regard to your Blue Cross Basic, I can't, you know, that's a great plan for singles and it's a great plan for families.
And the worst that'll happen is next year you can change to a different one.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. Yeah. It's, so, you know, sometimes if from the group of relatively low-cost plans that I've just mentioned, you then need to tie your choice to things. Let's say you're a single woman and you do really want to keep your gynecologist, okay? Well, fine. Pick a plan where your gynecologist is in the network. And you can call her office, you know, which is – smart thing to do anyway.
Or go on his or her website.
Go
they
the
usually
website,
will list their health plans.
But you really care about, is she going to be in the network next year?
Next year.
But we also provide that in our tools. So you can, let's say you have four doctors you want to keep. All right. We could, and plus we haven't mentioned yet, flexible spending accounts as a way to set, those are set up during open season. You set aside part of your salary up to $2,500. It's no longer completely use or lose. It's been reformed. You can carry over $500 indefinitely. And that's a way to pick up coverage for anything your plan doesn't cover, such as that one favorite doctor who doesn't participate in any plan or your prescription drug copayments. So, you know, people need
to plan. Or those concierge doctors now that charge a monthly fee to be able to email them anytime you want.
They won't be preferred, though, in any plans network.
No.
I get your message. I'm going to get a high deductible health care plan, and I'm going to put them on a health savings account. and then I'll get an FSA. One's funded for me, the other one's funded out of my pocket. At the end of the day, I'm even. And I got these great two benefits.
Yeah, and you're saving all that tax money.
Yes. Yeah.
That's still savings.
But I think, you know, that's still money in your pocket. Better that people should not make those choices, so that way it'll help keep the reduce the government deficit.
Okay.
They can pay more tax.
All right. By the way, Aetna's coming in here December 1st, mm-hmm. because we talked a lot about them. They come on every year. I think Aetna and Kaiser have come on every year since we've been doing this.
And they're very good friends of the show, and they do a good job of explaining.
And they both offer very well-priced, very good products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people I know who would never leave Kaiser. They live with it. They love it. And, you know, some people like HMOs. Some people hate them. Most of us haven't tried them and probably should have.
And Samba, too. They're local, and they come every year.
That's right. Yeah. I think they're on next week. Yeah.
And we rate, next Monday. Again, there's about a dozen plans out of the 30 or so that I really ought to be mentioning. There are a lot of good choices. Mm-hmm. Samba standard option. Yeah. You know, it's excellent choice.
Yeah, the ones like mail handler, postal workers, and letter carriers, I think a lot of people think those are limited to people who work for the post office, but that's not true, is it?
No, it's not. Well, there is one, the rural carrier.
Yeah, plan, rural
but,
letter carrier.
But nobody in the D.C. area is a rural carrier.
No. Well, in Lorton, there are a few down where I live.
Samba is on next week. I believe we're going to split the show next week. Yeah. But anyway, they're on the first half.
Good deal.
And plus, Tambi used to work with Walt.
He was my boss. I was my boss when I learned about retirement way back in the 80s. And now he pretty much runs Samba. Yeah, but it's a plan. It's been around since the 1940s. It used to stand for Special Agent Mutual Benefit Association. And now they just call it Samba because it's open to all federal employees.
Yeah, they at a later time, they absorbed the Secret Service plan.
Yep.
You know.
By the way, we're talking about Walt Wilson, right?
Walt Wilson.
Yeah.
Did I say Walt Francis?
No, you didn't. But somebody's
people
listening. You got a Walt there. Is he coming again next week?
Working for me.
That's right.
All right. We got Walt Francis here. Walt Wilson next week.
Yeah,
right.
a lot of ex-federal employees in the show.
I wish I was an ex-federal employee. You know? Well, I mean, what you pay on the outside.
That's right. The other thing that I think a lot of people want to pay attention to is if they are approaching age 65 is how their plan coordinates with Medicare, because that's another time I think that people can change plans. And I think you address that in your book because you'll talk about retirees with Medicare versus active employees who are 65 and older.
Yeah, and you actually we haven't gone and really talked about that. The choice of whether or not to sign up for Medicare Part B is a tough choice. Because if you do sign up, you're paying two insurance premiums.
It's the $1,200 question.
Yeah, and and there are advantages and disadvantages. You know, the big disadvantage is you're paying two premiums. There are advantages because most of the national plans wrap around and let you go out of network, and it sort of protects you if the Congress messes up one program but not the other. You still have a choice. A shoe in both places.
But don't you think it's a catch-22? Because when you're 65, you're generally still in good health. And your federal plan, whatever one you're in, has served you well. But then when you're 85 and you didn't take Part B and you said, oh, my goodness, now I've got two chronic illnesses. I got all these out-of-pocket expenses. I think I'll take Part B. And then you run up against that 20-year surcharge that you can't afford it anymore. So
but
I think
the calculus has changed, though. With Aetna Direct, I think it's almost at this point a no-brainer. Sign up for Medicare at age 65.
Change your federal health plan.
It was a real change plans.
Yeah.
Or join one of the Care First plans.
There's several that do really well with it.
It's a game changer for that choice. And that's going to be my big message this year.
And I think a lot of retirees don't realize this, but they have a once-in-a-lifetime open season they can use anytime they want. So if you mess up and you say, oh my goodness, I didn't realize this plan only paid 50% of my prescription drug bill, then in February you can change back to a different plan. But you can only use that once.
Is that like a do-over?
It's like your own personal open season that you can use anytime after you turn 65. Yep. For retirees, they can do it on OPM form 2809 or just do the Annuitant Express during open season. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Yep.
I just sit here and get jealous every year when we do this.
Federal employees are darn lucky with this program.
Yeah,
they have these
choices.
And then 2/3 of them sit like couch potatoes. They watch the Redskins, and if we're allowed to use that word.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, spending an hour doing health insurance.
And they're probably eating nachos and hamburgers and
all those unhealthy things.
Yes.
Yeah, if you look at the total premium that includes the government share for the federal health plans, many of the plans are well over $1,000 a month. Some are up to towards $1,400 a month. And the fact that you only have to pay a fraction of that, maybe one-fourth of that out of pocket, is something really to treasure. I think that we really don't value our federal health insurance as much as we should. But you really get that feeling once you talk to someone who's not a federal employee and they tell you what they pay for their health plan through their employer, and they may only have one choice. That is either choose to be in it or choose not to be in it. That's your choice.
So final comments, Walt.
This is a year that it's like every other year. It seems like it's an innocuous year. Premiums are only up a little over 3% on average. And of course, some plans are level and some go up a lot more than that. And yours might be one of those. But the main thing is there are new and better options. And there are options that have been around as new and better options for several years. It's time to pay attention.
And where do they get that real quick? The book.
We certainly recommend our tool, Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees at www.guidetohealthplans.org.
All righty. Thank you, Tammy. We got about 3 seconds.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. And thank you all for coming, and thanks for listening. Tammy and I share the co-host chairs. Anyway, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.